Welcome to the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Dara Cass, editor-in-chief of Feminem, and today I will have two guest podcasters because Dr. Jenny Beck Esme is off doctoring in an emergency department somewhere in New York City. Hi, Jenny. On today's podcast, we're going to be discussing greetings and salutations. My first guest for today's podcast is Dr. Jane Van Dis. Dr. Van Dis is an OB hospitalist and chair of OB at Bakersfield Memorial Hospital in Bakersfield, California. She is also the founder of Equity Quotient, an app and consulting company designed to measure gender equity in the physician workplace. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi. Our other guest today is Dr. Shirley Leon. Dr. Leon is a nephrologist based in New York City. She's passionate about patient education, health advocacy, public policy, and health disparities amongst disenfranchised populations. Welcome, Shirley.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi. Okay, so on today's podcast, we're going to be discussing greetings and salutations. More specifically, we want to talk about being called doctor. We're going to discuss this issue from a couple of different vantage points. First, Jane will review an article from the Journal of Women's Health, Speaker Introductions at Internal Medicine Grand Rounds, Forms of Address Reveal Gender Bias. And then Shirley will walk us through a recent social media conversation surrounding a random LinkedIn email from a recruiter where the physician was simply addressed by her first name. Lastly, we'll chat about where and when we think greetings and salutations should include doctor and when it really doesn't matter. So, doctors, are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I think until we finish this podcast, we should probably keep it pretty formal because I'm not really sure how we're going to end up. So, Dr. Van Dis, can you please walk us through this article?
Thank you so much. And it's such a pleasure to be here. I've listened to, I think, almost all of your podcasts, and I find them to be so fascinating. So the paper that I looked at was, as Dr. Cass mentioned, Speaker Introductions at Internal Medicine Grand Rounds. And this was published in the Journal of Women's Health in November of 2017. And so this was actually, I thought, a pretty well-designed study. It was a retrospective observational study, and it looked at forms of address at internal medicine grand rounds at two separate campuses. And the way the researchers evaluated the speakers was they looked at recorded video archives. So they were able to access video footage of the person introducing this as well as the speaker. And again, this was over a 2.5-year period, which I thought was a pretty lengthy period of time to obviously be able to get an accurate measurement of where this type of introduction pattern was headed. So there were a total of 124 grand rounds that met inclusion criteria. And for each lecture, each grand rounds, there was one introducer and one speaker. And the speakers were graded according to whether or not they introduced in four separate categories: doctor plus full name, doctor plus last name, first and last name, or first name only. And so interestingly, as you might imagine, 33% of the introducers were female, 67% were male, and 34% of speakers were female, and 66% were male. And this is pretty much what we see when we look at other studies in regards to speakers being male or female. Obviously, doesn't quite represent the number of male and female doctors we have, but this is definitely to be expected in terms of where we're at. So here are the results. So interestingly enough, 96% of the time, female introducers introduced any speaker, male or female, using a professional title, whereas only 65% of male introducers used a professional title when introducing any speaker. And now that 65%, while markedly different from the 96% of female introducers, actually has some more interesting split embedded in it. So let's kind of go through that. So when female introducers were introducing female speakers, They did so with a formal title 97.8% of the time, which is obviously almost all the time. However, when male introducers were introducing female speakers, they only used a formal title 49.2% of the time. So almost half of men were introducing female speakers without a formal title. Looking at how men introduce men, so 75% of male introducers introduce male speakers using a formal title. And as you might expect, 95% of female introducers introduced a male speaker with a formal title. The bottom line, women almost universally introduce men or women by their formal title 95 to 97% of the time. Men introduce men by a formal title 75% of the time, but introduced women 49.2% of the time. So the interesting thing about that split for me was I asked myself, so why are men not, they're obviously introducing women by their formal title a lot less than they're introducing male colleagues by their formal title, but why are men introducing men only 75% of the time by their formal title? And I think the authors got it right because in their analysis, what they said was men in medicine are already assumed to have status, which is to say their hierarchy is very well established. And interestingly, women obviously are likely to benefit more from having that external conferral of status through a title than men do because men, they already have it. And also, I think most important, women are more likely to suffer through the loss of a title than a man would, than if the title is withheld from a man. So why do we even care about this study and what does it mean? So I really think that this study got at the fact that our lives as physicians are often imbued with sort of what I would call microaggressions, daily, weekly, monthly. So the problem is that when women do not receive the appropriate external conferral of status through an appropriate title, it is perceived and it is an inequity. It's a real inequity. And those inequities actually contribute to job dissatisfaction and burnout. It makes women feel marginalized and it does make them feel like they're outsiders, you know, that there's a circle of power of, and they, you know, have or have not been granted access into it. Oftentimes I think women feel like they might be the token or there's only a few women in their department. They feel marginalized and unequal forms of address can propagate these unconscious gender stereotypes. So let's talk a little bit about what some of the limitations of this study were. Obviously, it's a retrospective study. Having said that, I thought it was really well designed, and there's very limited use of bias given that they were looking at actual video footage and so recording that were made. The only thing that I thought was relevant in the discussion of limitations, though, was that there was not the authors did not account for the speaker's age, quote-unquote seniority, and or their race or religion. So obviously I think that there could be a more interesting study if we were to sort of separate out some of those other variables. But regardless, I thought this was a really, really important study and I'd like to see more studies like this.
Thank you. That was like the best journal club ever. And I appreciate your presentation. You can be one of my residents. I think that, the paper kind of, when it came out, it made its rounds in a lot of the popular culture literature, because I think that it was pretty obvious, right? Here, these people looked at videos of speakers and they went back and said, okay, this is objectively what happened and you can't excuse it away. So I guess one of the things that I'm trying to figure out is this idea that women were more likely to introduce speakers by their formal introduction, regardless of the gender of the speaker. Shirley, do you think that that might be related to the fact that women maybe are projecting some of their experience bias in like to the people that they're introducing?
I think they're probably projecting their experiences. If you're not, you know, recognized or addressed in a certain way, you're most likely to give that respect back. So I think they just try to also model the behavior. So if you're introducing people as Dr. So-and-so, you would expect them to return that favor. And in actuality, it doesn't happen.
Right. I mean, and actually, I already messed up because I was supposed to be saying Dr. Leon.
I forgive you.
And I realized.
I forgive you.
No, but I'm trying to model good behavior. And like, actually, I think that, you know, it's interesting because like to me, like this podcast is really much more about like colleagues having a conversation.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's actually not what introductions and grand rounds are.
Right.
And then you wonder, right, is some of this also an extension of the old boys club, right? So how many times was it you're like, your peer, your colleague was the guy you were introducing. And so you may or may not have been formal when you introduced him, but if it was somebody that you were unfamiliar with, like how many women were maybe unfamiliar with the person they were introducing, or they were intentionally maybe introducing them formally, you know, they weren't as casual. Whereas if I got up on stage, I would probably be like, hey, what's up? This is Shirley. She's going to talk about blank, you know? Yeah, Jane, what do you want to say?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, one thing that's come to mind even actually over the last days and actually in a conversation that I was having yesterday with some doctor moms, and that is this idea that, you know, when women go up through medical school and training, there is this sense, at least I can speak for myself, that the act of becoming a doctor is very much this meritocracy, right? You go through undergrad, you get your grades, you got to get good grades, you go through medical school, you've got to get good grades. And there's this sense that when you achieve the title of doctor, you acknowledge the fact that you've put in all these years of education and that it is a noble title. And it's one actually, though, that is built on your work. And so it's this idea of a meritocracy. And I think that with oftentimes our male colleagues, there is, again, a sense that the hierarchy, the status, the power is automatically assumed, and there might not be the need in these grand round introductions to iterate that they are a doctor because they've been that or they've felt that ever since, you know, they were born. Not that they were born a doctor, but this idea of status, I think. We as women, we only get status through our achievements. And I think that for men, oftentimes, the status is a given. Does anything I'm saying make sense?
No, I think it does. And I think, Shirley, I want to actually use this as a transition to what we were talking about before, unless there's something you want to bring up beforehand. Because I think that a real world application of a non-formal setting, right? So in a grand rounds, like doctor, you know, it's like it becomes like a little bit more expected. And even, you know, and that may be why people are doing it. But I want to talk about what you brought up on Twitter in that conversation, because I think that's a lot more akin to what Jane is talking about with the like assumed status and stuff like that.
Right. Okay, so on Twitter on January 4th, I posted a general question about the etiquette of addressing physicians on LinkedIn. I'm in a group of physician doctors, a woman of color, and one doctor posted an interaction she had with a recruiter. The recruiter basically reached out to her and sent an email, a direct message, just showing interest in working with her. But they addressed her as her first name. So she replied saying, Happy New Year. You know, as you can see on my LinkedIn profile, I am a physician. I'm curious as to why you would address me by my first name. And this recruiter basically said that he addresses everyone by their first name because we are all people, and that his physician clients that reach out to him because they need help finding what they truly want, and that he's a career mentor and he works for the, you know, he works way better with everyone when he calls them by their given name. So she called BS on this, and she was like, you know, as I stated, I am telling you that I am Dr. So-and-so. And he persisted. He continued, you know, basically the conversation deteriorated and it became more unprofessional, but not on her part, on his part. And so this original poster got really, I guess you can say, upset and blasted him on different Facebook groups. Just so people can be aware of what's going on and how this person is addressing doctors in which he wants to do business with. So yes, that's why I brought it up on Twitter, to just try and create a conversation around the formal, you know, how do we formally address physicians in the setting of LinkedIn?
There's so many things. Like, I use the word unpack sometimes, like in a casual conversation about, like, you know, let's unpack that. There is so much to unpack there. It is like overwhelming. Like everything. Yes. Like, he literally, like, I can't. So why don't you, like, you start, because I might explode. So
I personally posted on Twitter because I love Twitter for the fact that it brings so many people together and we can have, you know, great conversations. So I posted just like as a general question, knowing already the answer, like, this is totally inappropriate, but I wanted to see what other people had to say. So people said, you know, oh, I think this is totally inappropriate. You know, like, how do you send someone, a doctor, request that you want to work with, and you're addressing them by their first name, and then you're telling them that, you know, we're all people. Yes, we're all people, but I am a person with a professional degree, you know, like you said, Jane, who, you know, went to school, worked hard, and kind of like earned my title, right?
And you're addressing me in social context. Yes. Like, this is like a greeting and salutation doctor.
Yes.
I am here, and not only that, but like, this guy's gonna earn money off her
exactly.
back.
Exactly.
Like, I am like there are so many things, whether it's like race or gender or hierarchy of education or the fact that he doesn't get paid if she doesn't get placed. Like, he is like coming after her so that he can work with her so that he can get paid. Like,
but then he turned it on her. See, when she he's like, he's a mentor now. All of a sudden he's mentoring.
Like, she didn't ask for that. Like, why does he have something to offer her? Like, I don't understand.
Exactly.
Like, it's like the salutation, and that's why the greeting and salutation sometimes do matter, right? Because actually, like what I said to you guys before, we're like chatting about this, like, you don't have, like, greetings and salutations don't have to be a sign of respect, but not including them can be a sign of disrespect.
Exactly.
And like, to me, like, this recruiter, who's a man, I don't know what his race is, but I might want to guess. Right, is like sitting there with like a black woman physician, a physician of color, and is like saying to her, like, sorry, but lady, you need me.
Right.
Like, you need me more than I need you.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not true. And like, the minute she defends herself, then he goes all
defensive.
Yes,
we get
that a lot. Don't be angry.
We get that a lot.
Right. No, right. That's the thing, right? So it's like, here you have like a, I'm sorry, I'm screaming. I get so angry.
I know.
Oh my God. So wait, so then let me ask you guys a question. So in social circles, like, when you grew up, did you call your parents' friends doctor if they were a doctor?
I can speak to the fact that in my culture, I'm a Haitian American. Well, I'm Haitian, but I grew up in America. We were taught to greet everyone with respect. So it was, you know, Mrs. So-and-so. And if it was like an aunt, it would be, you know, like a term of endearment type of thing. Never by the first name. And also for physicians, you know, when you went to a doctor's office, you dressed up, you were happy to be there, you showed respect, you know, so it's different. I think it's different based on your culture.
So in your culture, you would speak to you would call a physician, an adult physician, doctor all the
doctor
time.
Doctor all the time. And you would show utmost respect.
Jane, what about you?
Well, my dad is actually a doctor, and I remember specifically, we had a rather formal salutations as well. I think it was definitely of the time, given that I'm almost 50. But I think that
you look great.
But I do think that you know, that's a default, and I'm, you know, I'm a Girl Scout troop leader, and I have about 10 girls in my troop, and they oftentimes, when they first meet me, they'll call me Dr. Jane, and I kind of like that because my last name is a little bit quirky, but I do think it's important for kids to understand that there are hierarchies and that there are, and that these titles came with hard work. Having said that, I think it's also okay if the person holding the title says, you know what, call me Jane, or, you know, call me Miss Van Dis or whatever.
I came from a different culture, right? In my culture, I don't know if it's because, you know, I mean, I'm Jewish and I grew up and we called everybody by their first names, right? Like whether your parents' friend was a doctor or not, like it was an interesting fact, but it certainly wasn't something that you deferred to, right? It was cool, but it wasn't whatever. And I have friends who aren't Jewish, who didn't grow up the same way I do, whose children do call me Dr. Cass. And that, it feels awkward to me. It feels actually, but I'm also much more comfortable and casual in my interactions with them than they may be back with me in general, right? And then when I work at a sleepaway camp and I'm there with my kids and I'm there with their friends, and a lot of the kids call me either Dr. Dara or Dr. Cass because I am the doctor in that environment, even though I'm also like Hannah and Charlie's mom, you know? And it's definitely harder, I think, also for women because, you know, and I don't mean to say that men aren't immersed in these, all these different weird environments, like whether it's your kid's school or if it's like, you know, the teacher's calling you for advice or whatever. Like when you guys pick up the phone, like how often have you ever like picked up the phone and be like to like the plumber is calling you to tell you it's late and all of a sudden you're like, hey, Dr. Cass. And then it's like, what? Yeah. You know?
Oh, like, it's totally happened to me. Yeah. I feel like it happens when, you know, my kids are at school and something will happen on the playground. They'll get a bump or a scrape and then the nurse from school will call and I'll be like, Dr. Vandis, can I help you?
Right.
And I'm like, oh, she probably thinks I'm trying to like swing my title around.
Okay. So Dr. Leon, in that Twitter conversation on LinkedIn or even in this conversation about Grand Round speakers, like where is the line? Like, what do you think? Like, when do we demand to be called doctors? Like, do we demand ever to be called doctors? Like, what do you think?
Well, I think in a Grand Round setting, I think in the LinkedIn, you know, interaction, if you're telling, you know, well, and definitely in Grand Round, you should be addressed as doctor because that's what you're, you know, you're presenting and that's a formal, you know, educational scenario. I think you should be addressed as doctor. In the LinkedIn, okay, he addressed her as her first name. She went back and explained to him, you know, I'm curious as to why you would do that. I think he should have, you know, apologized and said, okay, Dr. So-and-so. And if you give the person permission to call you by your first name, then you go, you know, forward with that. But like you mentioned with medical school and training, and even in residency, I've experienced it where a male colleague will walk in and the nurses will address them as Dr. So-and-so. And I'm there and there's like, you know, surely this.
Right?
And so it's yeah. I think, yeah, right? So it's throughout. So I think that's when I demand to be called doctor. But half the time, like you, I'm very informal with my friends and family. I'm not going around, you know, Dr. So-and-so and, you know, address me by doctor because I know who I am and what I did. But in a professional setting, I believe that you should be addressed as doctor.
Me too.
I can tell.
I do. I get very puffy. The worst actually, and this is a whole other bag, is my husband's not a doctor.
Okay.
And so when I would start like under formal invitations, like demanding to be called doctor when he was just mister.
Okay.
Right there.
Yes.
Oh, the whole Mr. and Doctor and Mr. Like for a guy that's Ivy League educated up the wazoo, it was definitely like it brought him back down. He's a big feminist, but it brought him back down to earth quickly because it was like, all right. Well, I think we're going to stop there because I think there's like always much more to say. I want to thank you guys both for joining us. I think there's so many more ways we can discuss this issue of perceptions and bias and introductions and respect and disrespect. And how we don't have any good data on race. Like this paper, it talks about gender because gender is like, it's almost socially easier to talk about, right?
Yeah.
But how much more interesting or even how much more important. Like important would this paper be?
Yes. If
not only did they describe the race of the presenter or of the doctor.
Yes.
And what would we find?
Right.
Like, would we find that people of color are hardly ever introduced as doctor? Or always? I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Charlie? I
know the answer. It's likely always. Always, you know, mistaken for, you know, something else, someone else, you know, cleaning, you know, techs. Yes, it can go on forever. Yes.
Yeah, well, that's another podcast, by the way. You know, sorry I'm not your nurse. And by the way, I'm also not here to pick up your tray.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that. But either way, thank you guys both for joining us. I hope you both come back.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
And think of another topic. If anyone's listening out there, you know, think of topics, email us. And until then, talk to you soon.
It was great.
Bye.
Bye.